This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown Mercer County. Touchdown Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
614-0 Run in Galesburg. Your spot for custom fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by office specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales, and service, phone systems, sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge!
Now, from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor with Sportsline.
It is the WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started when the station signed on in 1979. We have a great panel today. First up, we bring in Ty Taylor. You want to give us an update on the big schedule today?
Yeah, we've got, obviously, high school football coming up this afternoon, 2 o'clock kickoff, 1 o'clock pregame with Rockridge at home against Seneca. Second round playoff action. Rockets try to get back to the quarterfinals for the second year in a row, and like you said, Sportsline, this morning we got a great panel with us in studio, right?
That's right. We bring in John Nelson and Keith Bogner, and I'm kind of sad because Coach Nelson already has his Augie stuff on, but we want to celebrate his time at Rockridge, but we will begin. How are things going with the new job?
It's been going well, and just so everybody knows, we are taking requests for the hottest country hits here today, so the phone lines are open. The hotlines are open. We're ready to play the hits.
Oh, I thought you were going to do an acoustic session with Cheese Pizza. No?
No, there is no acoustic session there.
Well, you need to bring the band out to the band shell, though, across the street.
Yeah, I'll get on that.
All right, so our football coverage begins at 1 o'clock with our pregame 2 o'clock kickoff. So we get ready for that. Anything you want to say about Seneca Rockridge?
Just exciting. I mean, you know, 10-0 Seneca, 9-1 Rockridge. We talked about it last week, but you know, the eight teams still alive in the North in 2A are 76-4 combined. So you know, it should be another competitive game this week, and to, you know, make the trip down the playoff path this year, especially, you got to bring it every day. So yeah, I'm excited for this afternoon. Should be a fun matchup and a competitive one too, I think.
Yeah, and a couple of other headlines. State cross country meet today, a couple of Sherrard girls running, right?
Yep.
And Corbin Sturgill from Mercer County, and then 8-man football today. Ridgewood kicks off at I think 1 o'clock. They're playing at the Bowl at Cambridge, yeah, which is a great place to see a game. All right, we also, the first time I've been basically on the mic with Ty, so we officially congratulate him as the Illinois Broadcasters Association best sportscaster, and it's for body of work. So the submission that got you the win was what?
Yeah, so the submission that we won the award with was on Rockridge winning three state softball titles in a row. So thank you, Coach Nelson and Coach Bogner. Yeah. Couldn't have done it without you guys.
Well, I'll do the Coach Carter thing. Rock, what? All right, Keith Bogner, you've been quiet. This big day for you. The one thing I really love about Keith Bogner, and I've said this multiple times, he is at everything, man. Everything, right?
I saw Keith this week. He was at the Mercer County Rockridge Junior High girls basketball game in Aledo. So yeah, Keith, he's at everything. He bleeds maroon and white, right?
he was also at Augustana last night for volleyball.
Holy cow. All right, so Keith Bogner, congratulations. Great honor, deserving honor for you going into the Illinois Softball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. And when I first congratulated Keith after the word came out, I was at a football game, and this is a true story, and he'll probably deny it, but he almost started crying because he was so humbled and so excited about it. So, Keith Bogner, congratulations, a deserving honor with all the work you do at Rockridge.
Yeah, it all started back in the 70s, is when I worked with kids, you know, And in softball, I got to thank this man sitting next to me, John. You know, we've been together 10 years. And he nominated me. I got to thank him for that. But I've had a lot of great people and coaches around me. A lot of great kids. It's unbelievable. The boys and girls that I've been affiliated with throughout the years. You know, my 70th birthday, I had 185 Texas happy birthday. And they were all from girls that I'd coached. You know, so it is humbling. It really is. You know, just like right now, I got a tear right now. Yeah. You know, it's, but like I said, I've got a lot of people to thank. And you know, and people says, well, you're deserving. Well, I've watched a lot of good kids go and do a lot of good things in life because of it.
And it's more than just softball, though. Yes. So why, the question begs, why do you love Rock Ridge so much?
I graduated from there, and I had a lot of coaches help me through some tough times. You know, I had a family that my mom and dad both worked hard all the time. You know, I had 9 brothers and sisters, and being the youngest, everybody else worked and did their thing. Not I didn't have a lot of support in my athletic parts, so I had people in the community there for me. Well, that taught me something. It taught me how valuable community is. And so I just told myself one day, I said, you know, it's time for me to work with kids. And that's what I've done ever since.
All right, so that is a perfect segue. And the buck always stops with the head coach. We know that. And the coach is out front, but he has to build a program, and he has to bring in the right pieces of the puzzle. So we bring back in John Nelson. So you tell me, Coach Nelson, how important is it to assemble a staff that is cohesive and in step with one another, but can also challenge you at times maybe with some ideas? So what about having those ingredients?
Yeah, it was super important. That was the kind of the first piece of the puzzle when I got hired. My first meeting was with Keith. I asked him to join the staff, and he didn't just give me a yes. It was a, well, let's sit down and talk about it. So once I bribed him into coaching, Liz Watkins came right along, and of course, Coach Daphne Graves was there to help us out, and they bought in right away. I mean, immediately. It was right away. Once we sat down and, you know, went through our plan, went through our binder, you know, talked about, you know, developing, you know, through camps and things like that. Everybody bought in, and I've always been blessed to have, you know, feel like I have better coaches around me than me, and I'm always, you know, I've told everybody, I'm a servant leader, and I'm here to try to facilitate, you know, a culture and an atmosphere so everybody can feel confident and everybody's voice is heard and everybody has an opinion, and I listened to everybody, and, you know, I was, through the years, I was lucky to add Dana DeCaro, Jimmy Garrett, just great coaches, Scott Durbin. And so, you know, I'm really humbled and blessed to have those kind of, I mean, it's an all-star coaching staff. I mean, when you look at my bench and, you know, at one point we had Liz, Jimmy, Keith, and Dana all with me there, and you know, and same with, you know, Daphne Graves, and it was awesome. And then these last 2 years with Scott Durbin has been absolutely incredible. So I'm super, super blessed, and I think that was always the first piece of the puzzle.
All right, speaking with our panel today of John Nelson, Keith Bogner, Ty Taylor is also here. We'll take a break, come back with more. This is the WRMJ Sports Line.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Foot comfort is important at work. Have you noticed your feet slipping from poor traction? Do your feet slide inside your boots or shoes? If so, it's time for a new pair of Red Wing and Wolverine work boots from 6140 Run. Red Wing boots are abrasion resistant, waterproof, insulated, and come in both safety and soft toe. Wolverine is built for durability. Tackle a tough job or outdoor activity with Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. They come in casual styles too. For hard-working quality and comfort, see 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. I wanted to get a new mic for Coach John Nelson. He already broke something. Channel 4 was hissing. So, but I want to ask you, Coach Nelson, have you been reflective here, you know, when you think about your time at Rock Ridge and it's kind of sunk in that you've stepped away and this tremendous run and this tremendous tradition in this tremendous program. Have you looked in the mirror and thought about all this stuff?
God, man. You can't make me emotional here on the radio. I'm trying to sound like a tough guy. But yeah, a couple times, I mean, when we got our rings, that was kind of one of those moments. But I try not to. I kind of want to wait till I'm retired and done and the whole body of work is done, and then I'll look back.
Well, and we talked so much when you kept hauling off win after win about, well, how are the kids going to handle it? How are the coaches going to handle it? Because it's, what they say, it's the white elephant in the room.
Always.
But to me, everybody handled it perfectly when you really look back at this storyline that generated such great interest.
Yeah, everybody, I mean, everybody bought into our philosophy of, you know, looking through the windshield and never looking through the rearview mirror. All those wins that we had, you know, piled up, that's in the past, you know, and that does nothing for you today. I mean, we use that to learn from, you know. Another big part of our philosophy is, you know, never be afraid to lose, never be afraid to make a mistake. We just take with that, you know, take that as part of the process and always be process over results. So everybody bought into that too, but it was all about the windshield, you know? What I'm most happy about is, you know, the loss to Ottawa was a 1-0 loss against a D1 pitcher and we battled, you know, and we threw Peyton Brown that game. I think she had 14 strikeouts and, you know, we got to second base 2 or 3 times and we just didn't have the timely hit. So that's the game. And that's why you got to love the game. But what I like the most is we answered the very next game against Katie Thatcher going to Louisville, and we beat her. So that was a good way to kind of turn it around and use that loss to get better.
Well, I'm interested to ask you too. Like, I obviously, you know, being a collegiate head coach is a great opportunity for you. But how difficult was it to make the decision to step away and leave Rock Ridge with all the success that you've had? I know you've built such great relationships with those kids and your assistants and just kind of the community there too. So how difficult of a decision was that for you?
Oh, leaving Rock Ridge was really hard, but it really came down to career. I've been in special ed for 32 years and it was time to step away from that. So, you know, being able to step into a full-time job with benefits and just coach softball and run a softball program, that's a dream. And not have to move. I mean, I came this close to coaching at Ole Miss and moving, and I, you know, I'm pretty happy to be able to stay here.
So the other thing I was thinking about coming in today about how people can be like, when I deal with head coaches sometimes at programs, they can be so like protective of like information, and it doesn't happen with many of the local coaches that I deal with at Rock Ridge, Sherrard, or Mercer County. But sometimes, like when I'm working with visiting coaches and I'm getting information to prepare for a broadcast, they're like so like protective, and I'm like, well, do you want Rock Ridge's stats? And they're like, well, yeah. I'm like, well, the dude has them on Max Preps.
I ain't afraid.
So, but that's what I say to people. It's like I always use the I always have to circle back to Jason Kirby at when he coached at Rock Ridge, and I told him a story one time about a visiting coach I was dealing with, and he paused, and it was perfect. And I always use this as an inflection point in my career. He always says, "If I need your help," speaking to me, mm-hmm. "to win a football game, then I'm in the wrong frickin' business." And it's the truth. Yeah, and then I'm like, it's so this is what I say to those. You prepare.
Yeah.
That's how, it's not protecting information. You prepare to beat your opponent.
Right.
And watch, and everybody I talk to, they say, watch the Rockets warm up. Mm-hmm. They're playing a game within a game already, and they've beat you before you've taken to the diamond.
Yeah.
So you can have their stats and look at them, but the attention now is you're watching them warm up, and you're saying, ah, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they beat us.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm trying to protect my stats from them. No. So what about just the art of preparation and the art of warm up? You want to speak to that? And
yeah, we try Keith and Bogner beat teams getting off the bus. Mm-hmm. I mean, the last 20 minutes of the bus ride, doesn't matter where we go, it's rocking. I mean, if you pull up next to our bus, you think, what is going on that bus? You know, and we talked to the kids right before they get off the bus, and we said, hey, it's game time right now. Get off the bus with your shoulders back. Yeah. Have a presence right now. The music stays rocking. They get their, and it's just laser focus. They get their stuff going. They set up. I mean, even just the minor things, the attention to detail, how they set up their gear. You don't see coaches doing it. We show up and we're doing our thing, and they're taking care of themselves, and it's just great leadership, and everybody's serving one another, pushing one another, celebrating one another, and you know, using the philosophy that the game is a celebration. You know, we've put the work in. You know, practice. You know, that's discipline. Now it's time to put on the show. It's time to put on the show. And we tell them before. Like we go out to take our pregame, whatever city we're in. If we're in Orion, hey, let's go be the Harlem Globetrotters of Orion. Let's go do it, you know. And we tell them that, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, go be the Curly O'Neal. Let's go and put on a show. And you know, it seemed like we always had a catcher with a cannon for an arm. So we would take away the stealing game, the running game from another team in pregame. Like, and we add extra throws. We make sure in our pregame the catchers just absolutely lighten it up. And so that would shut the running game down, and they would feel our energy. I mean, shoot, there's sometimes in the playoffs, I can't remember, we were in Farmington, I think, against Elmwood, Brimfield. And
yeah.
And I mean, the coach came over and they did the coin flip on our side of the field. And the kids were just, I mean, just in sync with everything. And we did the coin flip, and we picked home, and the coach literally dropped his head and shoulders, and he was just like, well, okay. And he looked over at his team, and
yeah,
they weren't even in their uniforms yet. I mean, it was pretty bad.
We were warming up, and our kids were just on fire that day. And they get off the bus, and these kids are watching. As they're walking by, they're watching all of our kids warming up, and you could just see once they walked by, their heads dropped down like this, and their heads were shaking.
Yeah.
And that game was over at that point.
Didn't have to throw a pitch. Game was over.
Well, to me, you know, like watching you guys, there's not another team that you see that warms up like that. Even like at the state tournament, nobody looks like Rock Ridge does in warm up. So for you, Coach Nelson, I guess, how were you able to kind of build that culture? What were some of the key ingredients you think to making that kind of, you know, of a feeling around the program possible?
It's about having fun. It really is. We tell everybody that fun is the number one important thing. Success will come, but if you're loose and you're relaxed and you're having fun and you're celebrating and you're able to joke around, and I'll never say, you're laughing too much. I'll always say, hey, why aren't we having enough fun? We need to be having more fun maybe today.
Yeah.
And when you're like that, you're at your peak. You know, when you know that your coaching staff and everybody around you, all the people that are supporting you, are supporting you having fun and supporting you being loose, then you're going to do good things and play really well.
I'm on the bus on every road trip. Sometimes the coaches have to come from different areas, but I ride the bus every time. And it got so that I had to buy earplugs and put in, because these kids were just, and that's what we wanted them. We didn't want them to overthink the game before the game. We wanted them to have fun and bond and have, and they did. I'm not
make
kidding
memories,
you.
Know,
oh my God, they were just lighting it up. And when they got off the bus, they were prepared. They knew when to flip the switch. You know, when we shut the music off, it was ready to play ball. But up to that point, we played the music. We still danced on the field. I mean, I can remember at the state tournament, even this happened this last year. Mm-hmm. Our girls are dancing and the other team's dancing. We're going to have a dance-off. You know, and this is before a softball game. You know, that's the type of fun that we had. We were loose when we went in, but watch out, we're coming at you.
Well, and I want to ask you this too, Keith. So like you said, you've been around athletics at Rock Ridge for a really long time. How quickly did you realize that you thought, okay, Coach Nelson is the real deal and we could do something really special with him here? How soon after you met him or he was hired did you think that something like this could happen?
He called me and I said, John,
that's funny.
Let's meet. I'm not going to say yes or no. I've been around with a lot of coaches. I said, let's sit down and meet, and I'll see if we do okay. We sat down, and about 5 minutes into it, I was ready to go. I said, we're in. It fit well. I was always used to being around where kids came every day to play. You know, they came. You know, I coached a lot of Moline kids at one state in travel ball and stuff like that. And what John brought, it was exactly what we were doing there. Ready to play ball. Get out of our way. You know, just get down and get dirty. And that's a style he had.
So, John, Coach Nelson, so you, when you got the Rock Ridge job, you would come as from an assistant at Alleman, right?
Yep.
So you coached with Ebner?
I coached with Coach Mike Ebner and Tom Crowder.
Who was inducted into the
Illinois Hall of Famer. Yeah,
Coach Association Hall of Fame last year.
Yeah, and the year I left, Alleman won state.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, you've coached travel ball for a long time. But I ask, you know, it's funny because I ask a lot of teachers and a lot of coaches that have done it for a long time about professional growth. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them will say, well, me in 2023 would fire me in 1987, you know, because of, you know, just developing your career. It takes a time. So when you took over the head job at Rock Ridge, you know, just an assistant, what did you lean on to say, I gotta utilize some stuff I've learned from maybe other coaches, but this has to be my program too. So what's the balance, I guess, in that, do you think?
I think when I came in, I was like, okay, I want to have my program exactly how I run my travel team, how I run Havoc. And we're just going to run it within the confines of high school ball rules. So that was kind of how I did that. But at the same time, I took all the things that I learned from, you know, Coach Ebner, Coach Crowder, the things that I liked there, and I implemented them. I mean, there was some really good stuff that they taught me, and especially about preparation and things like that. And then I just kind of wanted to, you know, in my mind's eye, I always had, you know, a vision of how I wanted to run my program. And it's funny because, like at Augustana, we just went through our binder, our playbook, and everything with our rules and, you know, our accountability and, you know, our metrics and how we're going to handle goals and metrics and expectations and all that stuff. And I've had probably 30 kids come through and visit over the last month or so. And I'm like, here's our playbook. This is what it's like, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? The same exact playbook I had at Rock Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Am I coaching my college team like I'm coaching a high school team? No, I coach my high school team how I'm going to coach a college team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I prepared them.
But we coached our high school team like a college team.
From day one.
You know, don't keep them at this level. Make them want to go to that level. And it was amazing how these kids totally bought in.
It took a couple years.
From the get-go.
Yeah. Right off the bat, they were excited to have somebody come in and say, it's okay to make a mistake. Fail harder. Fail forward. Mm-hmm. You know, my first camp there, I introduced a term, gainers. And I told the kids, I'm like, hey, we're going to erase the terminology of mistakes and gainers. And every time you have one of those flub ups, we're removing mistakes and errors. And I said, every time you, you know, miss a ground ball or, you know, have a misplay, it's called a gainer. Because from that little flub up, you're going to gain knowledge, you're going to gain ability, and then eventually, through reps, confidence. And so it was, we had hashtag gainers on, I think, our first couple camp shirts. And from right there, the kids were like, oh, wow, it's it's okay. So exactly, because now you're not going to play at 80% because you're afraid to make a mistake. Now you're going to play and run through the wall because you're not afraid to make a mistake.
All right, so this is a great question, too. We'll talk coaching 101 here.
Okay.
From a parent.
I didn't take that class.
yeah, you did. So what does it always boil down to in a lot of issues? It's always playing time. Yeah. So who plays and who doesn't? So how you know, I just want to get your impression of, like, so ownership of a program and how that works in terms of, you know, maybe kids that aren't playing and maybe they're unhappy about it, or maybe their family's unhappy about it and the kid's not. And I always, a couple years ago, we had the great John Elder on from Alexis on Sportsline. And I remember talking to him about, because he started coaching in the 60s. And he said kind of the evolution of when you saw more issues about playing time. It was like initially, hey, when I first started coaching, Dad came to the game on Friday night. And then maybe in the 70s, Mom started coming. You know, then 90s, 80s, 90s, maybe one grandpa would come and maybe an uncle. And then, you know, we get to the late 90s, it's Mom, Dad, both sets of grandparents, nieces, nephews, you know, aunts and uncles, and they're all there for what? To see little, I'll use my little Jimmy play.
Yeah.
And Jimmy ain't playing. So maybe little Jimmy's okay with that, but the people are there to see Jimmy. They're not happy about that. And Jimmy hears it from those people. So how do you make that work in terms of the ownership of, you know, keeping people happy? You can have great success like you had, but I never really heard any issues coming out of that area about, well, somebody's mad about not playing.
Because
you know,
we handled it from day one.
Mm-hmm.
First parent meeting. First parent meeting, it's real simple. So, you know, you've heard of Coach Scolionis. I can't remember his last name. He has the 17-inch rule. The plate's 17 inches. You know, in life, you know, when you get pulled over by the police, he's not, you know, they're not gonna widen your plate to 19 inches so you can be okay. You know what I mean? So we talk about the 17-inch rule a lot. We have 17 rules in our program because of the 17 inches of the plate. And we tell the kids right off the bat, congratulations, you made our team. That does not mean you're going to play at all. It's going to mean you're going to be a great teammate and you're going to work your butt off. And if you get into a game, have fun and make the most of it. But parents, right now, I'm here to tell you, I'm not talking to you. This isn't your team. I have a relationship with my players. This is between us, okay? And we set a chain of command. You know, if you're unhappy about your playing time, you come talk to me. I'm not talking to your parent. And the parents all knew that. Don't come talk to him about softball because he ain't going to talk to you. You know, I'm not going to talk to you about softball or another kid or anything like that. And we have a chain of command. And, you know, first meeting was player and coach. No, first meeting was player and coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Next meeting is player and parent and coaching staff. We got to that one time in 10 years. We talked to one parent.
Was it over playing time?
And it was the first year I was there, and it never happened again. There were some parents who tried to call the athletic director or something like that, and they would say, hey, have you talked to coach yet? You know,
That's great to hear that.
Yep.
So did it happen right after a game, or did they go through the proper channels?
They went through the proper channels. Well, it was a 24-hour rule, and it was a set-up, a meeting, can we talk?
And I'm cool with
that. No problem.
Yeah, and if their parents are taking the proper channel, what I'm saying is, and I've talked about this, here recently, there was a story that got some headlines involving a volleyball match to the south.
Oh, yeah.
And I always ask, and I'm talking, this is collectively, this not just doesn't have to do anything with Rock Ridge. I'm talking about high school sports in general, about what is the penalty for a parent breaking the first rule in Fight Club? No, the first rule.
Oh, yeah.
The first rule they always tell you at the parent meeting, pick any school, is don't approach a coach right after a game, especially about playing time. But I never know what the penalty is because it happens still a lot.
We have it written in ours.
What is the penalty?
It's game suspension. Well, for this particular situation, we also had a parent that wanted to say some stupid stuff during a game, and they were banned from coming. And now it's easy. Everything's pretty much live streamed. So stay at home and watch the game there. You're not coming here. It's that simple. And, you know, I actually had my first athletic director, he walked the parent out and supported us, supported the program.
That's great to hear.
And everybody saw that and never had a problem again. And it was on senior night.
But two, it's on the coaches to make sure for those kids, and there's a special way to do it. And you know the successful programs that do it, that kids feel the ownership of the program, even if they don't play, because the coach knows that.
Yeah.
In terms of they include them and they understand that it's a whole.
It's a whole, and we value, from day one, we value what the kids say. What? And people have to understand, by setting that protocol, you're protecting the kids. If people sit back and they look at it, what is the coach really doing? He's protecting the kids. Mm-hmm. Because now, when that happens, the kid gets put in the middle. They have to deal with it at home, you know. And we've told, at parent meetings, we've said, you're not going to agree with everything we do. If you want us to sit back and just wait for home runs, you're not going to like our team. We're going to force the issue. We're going to create runs. You know, we're going to make things happen because our philosophy is score one run an inning. We score seven runs and lose, something's wrong. Okay, so it comes down to a lot of, you know, if you disagree with us, disagree appropriately and don't do it in front of your kid, because then we're going to lose the buy-in. And your kid's not going to get to their peak. If you're talking trash about a coaching staff or even another player, your kid's going to lose faith and focus. And they're not going to peak. We need them to peak.
The young ladies in our programs in the last 10 years, what I noticed is we tell them that at the first of the year, there's no guarantee playing time.
Or position.
We tell the parents, positioner, everything. I don't care if you're a senior, a freshman, whatever. The game knows no age. And knows talent, you know. So we put that through to them. But the kids that don't play a lot, they love it, the program, because they know they're growing. You know, after 4 years of softball in high school, you might get another four in college, but it's still about growing. And that's what our program does. We grow our kids, and they love it because we're a family.
And I think they appreciate that although we coach them hard, we're constantly giving them high fives, constantly building them up. You don't hear a lot of negativity come out of our voices. And like I said before, our whole coaching staff was like that. We never had one coach in the staff who tried to undermine another coach. It was all one system. If we wanted to say something to a kid or if we wanted to make a change, we would literally walk up to the coach, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And I'm all for that. I can't tell you how many times, you know, Coach Dana would say, hey, look at the body language of this kid or whatever, and we need to maybe this is a kid we need to talk to a little bit. Or Coach, you know, Garrett would come up and say, he would always ask, can I say this? Can I say this? I'm like, absolutely. You're going to make us look even better. Coach Garrett was great.
During the day, my phone, ding, 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 because we're texting back and forth. What's going to go on that night at the game? You know, got
or
ideas.
Practice.
What do you think about this idea? What do you think about that idea? What do you think we ought to do here? I mean, it's 24/7. You know, I can go home and my wife goes, can you leave it at the park? I says, honey, I can't.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and you talk about like the, you know, we talked about the issues with playing time and parental stuff. But to me, like watching your program, you know, even the kids who maybe aren't in your top 9 or 10 that play every day. You talked about kind of the culture and like your dugout and on the bus. It seems like kind of the stuff you've implemented has worked, where there's, like you said, a lot of cohesiveness and people care about the program, like Keith said, and the team's success. Is that something you notice with kind of kids, you know, maybe 11 through 16 or 17 on the roster that maybe don't get the time, they're really bought in?
Yeah, at Rockridge, definitely. At other schools, no. We see a lot. I mean, I'm a hitting coach. And I got like 65 kids who come to me to hit every week, and they're at other high schools. So they come to me and they're like, you will never believe what this coach said. This is this. I can't believe I'm not playing. And I'm just like, hey, talk to your coach. Work harder. You know, that's the big thing. You want to play? work harder and be a great teammate. If you're out there giving high fives and, you know, doing all the little things, you know, when someone makes the last out, take their gear out to them, you know, make sure you're hustling in between innings, do the little things right. And the coaches will see that and you'll get the playing time. But we value, we tell our kids all the time, we call them specialists, you know, those 11 through 22 or whatever we carry, they're specialists. You know, they're going to be the ones that have to maintain the air in the culture in the dugout. And I'm sorry, but that's probably just as important as those nine on the field, you know, playing. Because it's not always about X's and O's. You know, it's about Larry's and Joe's, or Jimmy's and Joe's.
Like you said, it's amazing how these kids, the ones that don't get a lot of playing time, how in the dugout, they're the first ones. They've got the hats on. They got things on their eyeballs, and they got the kids when they come in. It's always high five. They're keeping them up. You know, these are the kids they're competing against. But they got them. It's just like I said. It's a family. They like each other.
All right. So one of the great things about this job, when I get to meet people over the years, and I've really appreciated my relationship with Coach Nelson here. It goes beyond like softball. The season is great. I'm not going to lie. It's a great heritage of the station is the tradition of this program over the last 10 years. I mean, it's unbelievable and the amount of support we get because of it. But even like outside of softball, like I always tell people, and I think of the late Brian Dennison who passed away. He was great with these like random weird texts I would get. and Coach Nelson is the same way, where it could be any part of the year and it's a weird random text. And I love like getting these random texts when he's on the road at a Major League Baseball park and he's like, hey, I'm in Colorado watching the Rockies. Or I'll never forget, this was like 4 or 5 years ago. He was telling me about a stand at, I still call it Comiskey Park. What's the White Sox park called now? Is it Guaranteed Rate? And he said hey, there's a stand on so-and-so third baseline in section whatever, and it's got Mexican food like the Ice Cream Palace.
It's 35th Street Tacos.
Yeah. I'm like, what?
So, I mean, it's just stuff like that. That's where people don't get like the connection of local radio, because I take ownership, and I mean, it's stupid to say that, but this station takes ownership in the success of local programs, and I just know, and Ty can attest to this too, the amount of response we've got over the years of covering, specifically the postseason run, has been so impressive. And that speaks volume to program too. I mean, really,
that's cool.
People follow, and if the kids are not in the area anymore, they're listening or they're texting.
I mean, my mom was in Jamaica for, I think, the sectional. I don't know. Maybe it was sectionals or regionals. Mm-hmm.
It was a sectional. She texted us and said, yeah, hey, Coach Nelson's mom listening from Jamaica. I was like, that is amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and like Lexi DeCarroll. Well, I can't remember her last name now. But Lexi DeCarroll was, you know, they live in Florida. Mm-hmm. And they listen. I mean, almost every time I re-listen to one of our games, she texts in. That's so cool, man. Or when Angie's down there, they text in. That's so cool.
Well, in the postseason this year, I went back and looked. I think it was 22 different states and four foreign countries people were listening from Rock Ridge Softball, which I think was so cool. So, yeah, that's something
I was going to say. Well, and the other thing about Coach Nelson here supporting the Rockets is it was weird. And I think it was this year. We were up in Sterling, and I said something during the broadcast. It was a super sectional basketball game, and I said something about everybody, you know, lean in and hug your radio or something like that. And Coach Nelson texts me, it's down the stretch with, who were they playing, Rockford Lutheran, is that right?
Yeah.
And he said, the text was something like, I'm hugging my radio. So, I mean, he's a rock, he'll once a rocket, always a rocket, man. So that's the other thing, too, because I want to make sure that we were talking about this a little bit before we went on the air. About, you know, they can, you know, some sports people will say, oh, they just want them to play this sport. They don't want them to do this or that. And I wanted to make sure you had the opportunity to say, hey, I want kids to compete in whatever sport they want to compete in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We never asked a kid to not play another sport or anything like that. And the thing about Rock Ridge Softball is most of those kids were softball first type kids. Like their primary sport or their best sport was, you know, softball. So, of course, you know, in the off season, they're still going to want to do softball. They're still going to go to hitting lessons and pitching lessons, and they're still going to want to get extra work in. And, you know, they're going to do their best to go, hey, I talked to my coach. Can I go to an open gym? And I come back and go, no, you can't come to an open gym. You're in a winter sport, you know. So there's always a – and I don't know where it came from, but there's always a narrative that, you know, that we've said, you know, we don't want kids playing other sports. No, they're just excited to play softball because it's either our team culture or it's because we win. It's because we whatever. I don't know. But we not once ever have asked a kid to not play another sport, and we value especially basketball. Mm-hmm. I mean, why wouldn't we want you know the our legs, athletes coming well, in and I can, in shape? You
and
know?
I can speak to that too because I know Jimmy Garrett's daughter Katie played basketball. Who's a great softball first kid, and I know. Keith Bogner is a multi-sport fan because he's at every stinking game over at Rock Ridge, whatever the sport is.
I enjoy, you know, when I have my softball players, I tell them, I says, I enjoy watching you play other sports. You know, that's why I go to all of them, because of the kids. You know, when they know you're supporting them no matter what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, even the kids who left softball to play their primary sports and focus on their primary. We've had that. I mean, Hannah Graves this past year, she's a really, really good softball player, but she's an unbelievable golfer. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so were we upset that she left? Yeah, but did we support her? Absolutely. Did we send her texts, good luck, and this and that, and continue to support her? Of course. I've
texted her all year. I went and watched her play her very first round at Highland Springs, and then every time she went and golfed, after she got done, I text her, and I said, just remember, 1% better tomorrow. Yeah. Because that was our saying.
Well, 1% better. Yeah, and who couldn't love that kid?
I mean, she's great.
A super kid, man.
Yeah, you'll never find a nicer kid and a more hardworking, focused kid.
Well, and this is the other thing I so love about Coach Bogner. So one day I was at his astute observation is always right on. So one day I was at a junior high girls basketball game my daughter was playing in, and I'm not gonna, in Mercer County was not playing Rock Ridge, it was like a regional game or something like that, and it was at Rock Ridge and he was over there, and he came up to Ty and I after the game, and somebody whatever had whoever scored the most points, but he came up to me and he said, man, that so and so that didn't have the most points but you know had these other impact on the game, whether it be rebounding or defense or passing or whatever, Coach Bogner said, man, that so-and-so, really good player. And I'm like, man, he's right on with that observation. So, you know, I mean, it's great to see
you watch all kids
good
play.
Fan.
You watch all kids play. You're not there to support just one. You're supporting good athletes. You know, with the more support they get, the farther they're going to go. They are, you know, but you have to have that support. And that's why I tell people, get out. Go to the games. Go to the games, you know. Talk to the kids.
So, and segueing here from Coach Bogner, and you can bring this up, Coach Nelson, with the nickname. But here's the other thing, too, about image matters.
Yeah.
You know, but it boils down to on the field of play. But the other things that make it all work. You go to certain facilities and you say, well, I know we're in for a game today because I look at their facility and how they manicure this, how they keep their facility, you know, up to speed. And that takes community and a lot of people to buy in to do that.
Yeah.
We bring in Keith Bogner and other people that have whatever. And you look at the pristine setup at Rock Ridge, and that's where when people come there and they're playing at Rock Ridge, they get off the bus and they're like, oh, man,
they got
this facility. So, I mean, that's another big part of it, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, from day one, I think the first thing we did to the field, though, was we bought bigger, louder speakers because I said when teams get off the bus, I don't want them to be able to hear themselves think. I mean, it's just going to be rock. And we always, you know, started the spring with a field day. All the parents chipped in. I mean, sometimes we'd have 45, 50 people out there. You know, we put in the batter's eye. We bought the windscreens with the graphics, the padded backstop graphics, the front of the dugouts with graphics, you know, new bullpen, new batting cages, all the state championship, you know, highway signs.
And a great batter's eye, too.
Batter's eye. We put up the batter's eye. That was one of the first things we did. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, coach out there every day. I mean, even in the off season, I'm going to go drag the field today. I got to keep the weeds down, you know. I mean, He's there every morning, and he still runs his KNV Steel. He still runs his business, but he's out there.
It's Christmas Eve. Bogner's out there.
Yeah. Well, my first year, I can't remember who it was. It was either you or Augie. It was like the end of January or maybe the end of February, and there's still snow on our field. And I think it was Augie was out there with snowblowers blowing snow off our softball field. And I'm like, what in the heck is going on? Yep. But, yeah, that's the kind of support we get. But Keith is unbelievable with our diamond. I mean, there are times that other teams can't play and our diamond's ready to go because
I know that's like
because
every game.
At the end of every practice, we're out there filling in holes, tamping, you know, taking care of our diamond post practice, post every game. And then when he gets there the next day, he can just drag it and chalk it, and it's always pristine. I mean, he literally rakes his footprints off the diamond when he walks on. Oh yeah,
regional championship game against Tremont. In the fourth inning, we had a downpour.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, there was standing water all over the field. The umpires called me up to the press box, and they go, well, what do you think? How long do you think? Think we're going to be able to play tomorrow? And I says, we'll be able to play in about an hour. The guy looked at me and says, their coach goes, no way. There's no way that's going to happen. You know, there's just no way. He says, we'll be back tomorrow. I came back at 9 o'clock and drug the field and chalked it. It was ready to play.
Yeah, that Joker. The only other diamond that I can think that drains as good is Rock Island. Rock Island's. I remember we played Rocky when I was at Allam, and there it was an afternoon. It was a Big Six doubleheader, and it was raining. And it was when Steve Ebner was there, and he said, "Hey, we're gonna have a delay, but we will be able to play today." And they went in, and there was standing water in the dugouts, and with push brooms, instead of pushing it out behind the dugout, they pushed it onto the diamond so it would drain. Yep. I was like, wow.
I don't know if it was a regional or sectional championship, but they brought them from Normal back to the Quad Cities, but it rained, and none of the Quad City diamonds they could play on.
Oh, that was Moline, Rock Island.
And we called them and said, we can play on our diamond.
Yeah, we hosted it.
They came out and they played on our diamond.
I think it was a sectional or sectional championship.
Yeah, well, we have 800 people there.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yeah, it was a great game. I remember Ashley Peters pitched for Rock Island. I can't remember who pitched for Moline, but... I think Moline won that game, right?
Yep.
Hey, let's stop right there. I need to take a break, and we'll come back with more. Great having John Nelson and Keith Bogner with us in studio on WRMJ.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Looking for a new pair of kicks? Maybe it's time to ditch that worn-out tongue and flattened sole and check out the latest styles and colors of Hey Dude shoes at 6140 Run. Known as high-performance footwear, they prioritize both quality and fashion with designs for men, women, and youth. Stop in at 6140 Run to check out the expansive selection of Hey Dude shoes in stock now. They remind you not to be fooled by online sites selling Hey Dudes. Make sure your pair are authentic at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Right now, buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get a second 50% off.
Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor, John Nelson, and Keith Bogner on the WRMJ Sportsline. I know here in Aledo, there's weird arguments in coffee shops about who's the best Aledo football team ever. I'm not going to ask you who would be the best Rockridge softball team ever, but I will. For me personally, I thought one of the most enjoyable years for me of following anything in interscholastic athletics was the coming off the pandemic year.
21,
and that was the year where you it where everybody just felt good that games were playing. And I remember that was a later season that year because of the way the IHSA calendar works. So it was like mid-June to the latter portion of June. I really remember that because it was middle of the week, too. It was a weird kind of setup. So I love that season just because what it represented of, hey, we're out of the pandemic. There's crowds here watching games. We're playing for a state title. That meant a lot to me to be there for that. And I know each season is its own thing. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, just how do you size up the, you know, the decade you had there?
I mean every team, how do I say this? Every team mattered. We couldn't have got to the next season without the team ahead of them, if that makes any sense. So 2014 was just as important as 2022 and 23, because, you know, 2014 we kind of established ourselves and said, you know, yeah, we got smoked in the regional, and you know, Sherrard had our number that year, but that's the last time we lost to Sherrard. You know, so that was meaningful. They were extremely good, and you know, we had to come back and beat Rachel Winston, and she's legit, man. That was a tough pitcher to beat. And that, you know, every year we got better. 2014, we just kept climbing the ladder. 2014, I think we were regional runners up, and then 2015 we won regionals and got to the Elite Eight, and then 2016 we got to state, took third, and then 2017 we great team, might have been one of our best ever.
Matter of fact, we were down at state there, and the guy goes, "I can't believe you guys in." He says, "I thought you were the best team in the state."
Yeah. Morrison got us that year.
Morrison got us by one run.
Yep. Morrison got us. We didn't play well defensively, but we learned, you know, and we were able to answer in 18 and never have a season without going to state again. And I think you mentioned the stat that every kid that played, every freshman class, I think since, it wasn't 2014 freshman, but every freshman class since 2015 won a state title.
Yeah, I think it was every kid who played 4 years for you at least won one state championship, which is
wild. Not the 2014 freshmen, though. They didn't. But they got to third. They got to play.
They got to the state tournament.
They got to play
state.
Yeah, yeah. And starting 2015, every single kid won a state title. That's cool. We did our job.
Right. We were graduating six seniors at a shot.
Yeah. That was another thing that I thought was really awesome is that, you know, we would graduate six seniors and everybody's like, "Oh my God." And I say, "You know what happened last time we lost six seniors? We won state." We lost six seniors in 2017. We won state in 2018. And every single year we won state, we lost six seniors the year before.
So our JV program is really fantastic. We've had good JV coaches. And excellent. Our JV, if they lose one game, two games a year, that's all they lose.
And we practice together. People don't understand that. I mean, in the season, they might go six or eight, maybe 10 practices in a season where they're not with us, where it's not just one full, you know, because we do our open gyms together. We do our indoor practices, you know, in the early season together, you know, our first several outdoor practices, because we got to teach them the system and they've got to see it in action. And those upperclassmen have always been just the leadership we've always had is
our tournament at the end of the year last year. We had to fill a team in because the team dropped out. So we took our JV and put them in with the 3A, 4A schools, you know. And here's the coaches after their games are going, "You sure that's not your varsity?"
That was our JV.
You know, because they beat them. You know, our JV beat them. You know, they says, "You sure that's not your varsity?" "Nope, our varsity was playing over here."
Yeah, that was pretty cool, though, that end of the season tournament that we host.
Those kids played well.
Yeah, they did really, really well. I couldn't find a team to fill in for a team that had dropped kind of last minute, and I'm like, well, we're going to throw our JV kids out there and just put a JV team out there and let them develop, and that's what it was about. And I think they ended up being like 2-1-1 or 1-2-1. Yep. They won a game or two. Yep. So that was,
well, they won two games. They tied one and they lost one.
Yeah. Okay. So 2-1-1. That I mean, that's,
and they beat the 4A school.
Wow. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I'm really proud of all of our JV coaches that we've had. You know, starting with Coach Daphne Graves and Nate Weber helped us out a year, and then you know, Coach and Dana, Derb. and then Derb. Yeah, it's been incredible.
So you talked about like having the JV kids practice, you know, program-wide with the varsity kids, and obviously a ton of great talent you've had over the years. talk a little bit about kind of like what your practices are like. We talked about the warm-up earlier, and then how much does it help the progression of those kids as players, you know, and teammates getting to see from freshman year on, you know, the upper-level varsity kids who are winning state titles year after year, right? So how much does that help kind of having just everybody cohesively together?
I think that the biggest thing that it saw is they were the kids were buying in because they were feeling like a part of the culture. They were feeling a part of the process. Again, we valued everybody top to bottom, but we always had a pretty disciplined practice, and we had, you know, when you have four or five really good coaches, you're able to you know, set up different stations and work different drills. But they were also, I think the most important thing is they learned to be as coachable as they could possibly be, because they were seeing upperclassmen get coached up really hard, and then they were like, okay, when I get coached up, that's how I have to respond. Because yes, did we have a ton of talent? Yes, every team had, you know, I mean, in all the teams you looked at, we had probably one, sometimes two D1 players. We never had more than two D1s, a couple of D2s, D3s, but everybody got coached up. You know, I know there's, you know, some armchair coaches going, oh, they had a bunch of talent. Yeah, they won. Anybody could win with them. And they don't see that a lot of those kids were coached up. I mean, every year we had a different first baseman who never played first base. This past year we had a catcher who really wasn't a catcher. She was an elite outfielder. And, you know, she'd tell you right away that, you know, those first 2 weeks of practice were not easy, because we were working hard on that girl, and there's a lot of kids that get coached up.
I'll testify to that. You said 2018 was that you lost 16 seniors the year before,
yeah,
and that so that was like Sarah Bislin's group, yes. And Gracie Preston left.
Yeah,
that
and Sarah Bislin didn't play in 2017. She came back and played in 18.
That was an incredible run.
Oh my God,
that yeah. year with that group, and
that was Beecher in the state championship
and
game
that
again.
Was,
yeah,
and that was a tremendous game, and that was still played at Eastside Center, and yes. I thought that was a year where you look back of what you lost and what you pieced together. And that's a situation where kids got better because they practice against really good kids, and then that paid off the next year. And see, that's the big thing where sometimes parents get lost in that, where they're just worried about they're not playing, but they never ask the question, are they getting better?
You remember Elena Martinez?
Yeah.
That year?
That's right. Had a big at bat. So I'm just saying, kids are getting better even if they're not playing. Mm-hmm. And that happened from 2017 to 2018.
Process. That's process over results.
At the start of every practice, every day, the girls meet at the parking lot, and they all come down as a unit. And we've had baseball coaches go, how do you guys make them do that? You don't. We got captains, and all the kids buy into those captains, and they want to be just like them. So when they come down, they says, "Well, they go into the dugout. They're out of that dugout, and you guys aren't even talking to them. No, because they know what to do. They know what they have to do, and they all do it. You know, and that's how you run a team. If we have to sit there and tell them to do everything, well, then you don't have much going on.
All right, let's take one more break here with Coach John Nelson and Keith Bogner on the WMJ Sports Line.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Foot comfort is important at work. Have you noticed your feet slipping from poor traction? Do your feet slide inside your boots or shoes? If so, it's time for a new pair of Red Wing and Wolverine work boots from 6140 Run. Red Wing boots are abrasion resistant, waterproof, insulated, and come in both safety and soft toe. Wolverine is built for durability. Tackle a tough job or outdoor activity with Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. They come in casual styles too. For hard-working quality and comfort, see 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, Jim Taylor, Ty Taylor, Keith Bogner, and John Nelson here on the WRMJ Sportsline. So this is how this can be like our thank you segment, our appreciation segment. So I want to say thank you to Coach Nelson for 10 years of working with this radio station. So it's been so enjoyable. I know we'll still stay in touch, but I wanted to, you know, just personally thank you on the airwaves. You're a champ, you know, and it's more than just you won championships at Rock Ridge, but I have so enjoyed working with you on this station. And for me, you know, when people leave, I get sad about it. Like, this year's been tough for me with you leaving Rock Ridge, and I get it. And I was sad when Coach Say left. You know, I still interact with him a lot. We talk a lot about junior high girls basketball for some weird reason still. But I miss that. So I want you to understand that that's part of this job that I know. And I know you'll do great things at Augustana, but I guess thank you, and I'll miss you.
Thanks. Ditto. You helped us build that culture big time.
Yeah, and I want to say thanks to Coach Nelson, too. Obviously, we talked about all the success he's had, but my favorite thing about Coach Nelson is, like, after every game we do, he'll text me like, hey, can you send me a copy of that broadcast? Yeah. So I love
– Well, because so I want to learn from I listen to those because, you know, I want to be like, okay, what did they see that maybe we didn't see? You know what I mean? Because you guys are really, really smart. You know the game. You know it's called a rise ball and not a raise ball, and you still let Coach Cook.
I'm telling Coach Cook today when I see him.
You still let him call it a raise ball. So, no, I love, you know, and just hearing the color analysis and hearing what you guys are saying. I'm like, man, they literally saw us shift this defense, or they saw, you know, how we're playing a slapper, or they saw how we're pitching somebody. I'm like, that is freaking awesome that somebody sees that and appreciates it. So thank you.
And I want to say thank you to Keith Bogner on behalf of, like, everybody in the Rock Ridge community for all the things you do, because we didn't even get into the stats today for football and doing that. I know that's a labor of love for you. You like to be on the sideline and being up close and personal, and you've always been a friend to the station. And I'm so glad that Mercer County and Rock Ridge are now in the same league again, where we can be there on you know, Friday nights for basketball games and football games and really get after it. Because I remember when your boy played, he played in the heart of the mm-hmm. Olympic Conference. Mm-hmm. And when they'd always come to Aledo, you know, the Aledo kids would be giving it to the Bogners. And I'm like, yeah, let's get this on. So, but I want to thank you too for all the stuff that you represent for the Rock Ridge School District. That's important, man, to have people like that in the community that love kids.
Yep. He's right. A glue guy, right? That's a glue guy.
I'd like to, you know, a little bit here. I want to thank John. Now, John nominated me for the induction. So,
and me, you know, too, for the media award.
I didn't nominate
so
you.
I
yep.
appreciate that.
Yeah.
So when you get done, I got a follow-up. So you.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to throw a shout out there to Miss Hassan, Daphne.
Nobody better.
You know, they've had our back. You know, I work on the football field. I work on different things because that's what I think community is all about. You know, they need you, call me, I'll be there. You know, and when I went with John, like I said, it's we became brothers. You know, my wife and his wife, they have withdrawals so they don't get to see each other. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, and his daughter, and his son-in-law, you know, I text him on Christmas and birthdays, and, you know, that's what it's all about. That's what, and you guys, Jim, every time I see you, I'm looking for you, and I wave a hand out. You might be on the phone, but I wave a hand so you see me.
Yeah.
You know, down at Macomb, throw a hand that's out there right. When you're down at Macomb. You know, it's the people around you. and they're good people.
Yeah, well, I think my last question that I answered for Ty, it stayed, I think. You know, what does Rock Ridge mean to you? It's family.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, it's what it is.
And why 2018, to back up, means a lot to me with coming out of the, not 20, what was the year out of the pandemic?
21. 21. Yeah.
And I'll never forget your wife snapped a picture of me, and we were on the auxiliary diamond.
Yeah.
And we just, you just got done playing the semifinals against Massac County.
1-0.
Wow. Well, and I remember, and that's why people say, when people say, oh, you know, they got all this talent, and they, you know, I hear it too about they can just win. And I remember when you get deep in the postseason, you're playing two-way level. You're playing good teams.
You're playing teams and with just as much talent. Yeah,
that's right. And that game, I'll never forget. I can't. Was it middle innings? They had the bases loaded and two outs, and I think a kid for Massac County hit a smoking line drive down the third base line, and I can't remember who's playing third base.
Taylor Seedam.
And caught that. That ball would have been in the corner. The bases cleared, and you're down 3-1.
Taylor made two or three huge line drive catches that weekend.
Yeah.
So, well, that day, because we played back-to-back, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And that's the other special thing about that. Yeah. So, and the other thing that Coach Nelson does for the station that I think is so awesome that means a lot to me is we always get, after every year of the state run, we get the framed picture of the state championship team. We have those. That's so awesome. And the other thing, and I don't know if Coach Nelson, he probably doesn't even remember this, but he I tell a lot of my broadcast counterparts this, and they're so jealous. And it means, out of all the things that in my career I've done in 33 years, one of the things that means the most to me is, 1 year, Coach Nelson said, hey, I got something for you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And it was a state championship medal. And I tell my broadcast friends, have you ever got a state championship for broadcasting high school sports?
You have. Yeah. Because you're part of this.
I got one.
You're part of this.
So that type of stuff, people don't get. That means the most to me. So yeah.
I mean, when you're building a program and a culture, and you want to have that kind of the extra swag and the extra aura around the team, you get your media friends involved because they're going to help you build that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about you guys is you know the teams, you know the families. So it's more than just covering a team. You're covering and you're promoting and you're helping these kids get college scholarships because we use some of that radio stuff to put in their recruiting profile. All that kind of that great highlight stuff, we've used all your stuff for whatever reasons, and it's just helped us build that, and I'm so appreciative. You guys are the best.
Well, I think something cool too, like you guys had the ring ceremony a couple weeks ago, right, where you got all the kids to come back at halftime of one of the football games, and to me that was such kind of a cool, like I wasn't there, but just the pictures, it was really cool seeing all those kids back, and like you talked about earlier, you know, those kids came back. Like Peyton Brown was there, right? Yeah. Who's a Division I level.
And by the way, Peyton Brown and Bayla Bogner are at the Dick's House of Sport today, I think from 9 till noon, giving a clinic to 8 to 12-year-olds, both from Illinois State. So they're over there with my daughter, Avery, who is helping run that Dick's House of Sport. But yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Coach Cook, he just texted me and he said raise ball is all he said with like 6 seconds. So he's listening.
What is this, 1920s? 23 Skidoo.
Hey, Coach Cook could play softball. He was a, when I was a kid in Edgington, he lived in Edgington too. And he played softball. And I was telling Ty the other day, I said, when I was 22, 23 years old, I said, me and Glenn coached 5th, 6th grade basketball with his son Denny on it and everything like that. And I says, I coached Jay Bazzari at the same time. You know, Ron Heath.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Man, you're old.
Yeah. they were. All right, so when's the 20 spring 2024? Is the schedule up for Augustana?
Yeah. You can go to augustana.edu and go to the athletics department and go to women's sport and then softball. Yeah, we start in February for games down at the Peoria Louisville Slugger Complex. We have a couple of back-to-back weekends there, and then we go down to Tennessee for a week, and we play Sewanee, the University of the South, We play Cumberland University, Johnson University, and we're trying to – we haven't got a schedule yet, but I've put an offer out to D1, University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, for an exhibition doubleheader. And then we come back home and start the conference in the CCIW. So we're really excited. We got a very, very good team. We got the returning pitcher of the year for the conference coming back, and really, really excited. I love this team to death.
So how do you like the transition from high school to basically kind of the recruiting stuff and dealing with all? How much of an adjustment has that been for you?
It's been a big adjustment. I've learned a lot, but I've had a lot of really good people around me. My athletic director, Mike Zapolsky, is fantastic. He's great. My assistant coach, Jacob Batista, he's been phenomenal and just kind of helping guide me. And it's like I was going back to Rock Ridge. I mean, everybody helped me there too. It's the same kind of stuff. And the support's been amazing. The families have been great. We've got one day left on our online store to get your Augie swag. So go to Eternals Quality Group and get your Augie swag there.
All right, now you know then. So I guess I kind of pay a little bit of your salary because Ty's a graduate of Augustana.
Yeah, you got another one there.
And Tatum is a freshman.
Yeah,
who I would say you need to recruit Tatum Taylor, but she played basically. Coach pitched softball for one season when she was like six, and that was it.
That's all we need, a manager. Bring her on. Let's go. I'd love to have you guys come do games too. So yeah. We can get a press.
Well,
box.
I'm gonna show up and watch your team play. There's no question about that because I know they're gonna be a winner in the CCIW 10 run Illinois Wesleyan.
Hey, we got a call right now. We got a caller coming in. Tina Frieden from Aledo. She wants to hear "Achy Breaky Heart" again. So yeah, I guess we got to cue that one up.
I asked one of my great interviews. I was interviewing Madison Frieden.
One of the best.
Yeah, and I said, give me something like a cheer or something your mom says during a game, and I can't remember what it was.
Walking or whacking? Yeah. If there's a 3-2 count, you're always going to hear Tina say, come on, kid, walking or whacking? I miss Tina and Dan and Maddie the most, but I miss them so much. And they came to our ring ceremony. Tina and Maddie showed up, so that was really cool. But Danny's the best, man. He's so funny.
Why do you think? And I know we're winding down here, but why he mentioned, you know, fast pitch softball kind of at the men's level. Does that have something to do with why the sport is so big?
Here, yes, because let's talk about it. In the 50s, 60s, and 70s, even in the early 80s, men's fast pitch softball was massive here. Douglas Park, Stevens Park, it was huge, you know. And a lot of, I mean, even like Nick Needham, Corey's dad, God, he still plays men's fast pitch, and you know he's played on, you know, teams that go to Worlds and all that kind of stuff, playing some teams all over the country and internationally. And I mean, he's Carl Golan, the former coach at Augie. I think they brought him up here from New Zealand to pitch for them and some other New Zealand guys. So it's been huge here. You know, back in the day with Dick Pobans
all those old players took these girls, these pitchers and stuff, or was coaching all these pitchers that they brought it all alive. You know, yeah. And
Jerry Ralphs.
Yep, Jerry Ralph, and it has just kept going. It's just going. It started out at women's ball. All we had around here was women's ball. You know, you had the Hino Squealers.
And Margie Wright played here.
Margie played for the Sexton Redbirds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and then it went into, because everybody had club ball. You know, you had them in all your towns. We had Tri-County out here with Mercer County and all them. And that's all they played ball. That's all it was. But then it got big time. It got more and more. Start out women's ball. Before you know it, there was travel ball. And ASA come in big time.
Do you think we could have a women's team now called the Squealers? They probably wouldn't.
Squealers?
Yeah, have a pig as their logo.
Hey, they played out. They played out at Castle Junction. It's now a storage place.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go Squealers!
And Wayne Coyne had them. I mean, it was amazing watching those kids play.
Well, awesome that you guys come in today, and we got to get Cheese Pizza to play at the Aledo Central Park Band Shell sometime next summer. Rusty Ruggles can work on that.
We'll get after it.
John Nelson, great. Thanks again for a wonderful 10 years. We'll follow you at Augustana. I know you listen a lot. You'll be listening today as you're
today, recruiting. Yeah, go Rockets.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Sam Graves, Coach Graves, if you're listening, remember, all you got to do is run the flea flicker or the Statue of Liberty once every possession.
Bumblewski.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to throw it, man. Let's go. Let's go.
And we'll see. We'll get the stat sheets ready for you. Don't worry for your stat team. And let's play today and let's play a few more weekends of high school football with the Rockridge Rockets.
Go Rockets.
I think we got that chance.
All right. Keith Bogner, John Nelson, Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor on the WMJ Sportsline on the Saturday.
At Country Financial, get door-to-door coverage, auto insurance, plus home or renter's coverage, and save up to 25% with this multi-policy savings. Protect what you have with Country Financial.
Contact your Country Financial representative today. In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham,
John Waugh,
or Jason Potter.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Preferred Insurance Company, or Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Big box and online stores seem to have it all, but they have great local customer service and support. When they don't see you face-to-face, how much can they really care or even actually help you? Office Specialists at Advanced Business Systems has it all, too. But they have even more. They see you. They'll take good care of you right here where you live and work for office supplies, furniture, promotional products, IT support, printing, mailing, janitorial supplies, and much more. OSI and Advanced Business Systems are your local partners for everything in the workplace. Visit osi.biz or stop in at Office Specialists in Galesburg and Advanced Business Systems Moline.
Looking for a new pair of kicks? Maybe it's time to ditch that worn-out tongue and flattened sole and check out the latest styles and colors of Hey Dude shoes at 6140 Run. Known as high-performance footwear, they prioritize both quality and fashion with designs for men, women, and youth. Stop in at 6140 Run to check out the expansive selection of Hey Dude shoes in stock now. They remind you not to be fooled by online sites selling Hey Dudes. Make sure your pair are authentic at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Right now, buy one pair of Hey Dudes and get a second 50% off.
All right, Ty Taylor, as we get ready for 1 o'clock back on the airways, right?
1 o'clock pregame, 2 o'clock kickoff. We got a special color commentator with us today. Do you want to announce it?
You go ahead.
We got Pat Lower, the Aledo High School grad, right in Fulton High School football coach, is filling in for Coach Cook this week because he's got to do the PA. So we got, yeah, he'll be doing the color with us. So it's a family affair. How about that?
That's right. That'll be fun. And let's, like we said, let's hope there's a couple more weeks. So we just want to go through the Thanksgiving weekend holiday for high school football. Then we'll worry about all the other stuff. So again, that starts at 1 o'clock today, a 2 o'clock kick, and we'll keep you up to date on all of the high school football playoff games as well.
Yep. Like you said, 1 o'clock pregame, 2 o'clock kickoff for Rockridge and Seneca. Excited for a fun afternoon over in Edgington.
Local radio for the win. For Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor, WRMJ Sports.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, Sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.